Yeah, sure. You got your list and everything?
I don't have a list at all, man. I'm running and gunning.
All right.
But
I got my list.
oh, you got a list? Okay, good. At least one
Yeah,
of
I
us
got
is
a
prepared.
list.
All
All
right.
right. Well, I know you're like little Tay today, right?
Oh, yeah. It's time to
I could say something
reconnect
about it,
to
but I don't
the
have much. Good.
internet. This is Internet Reactions with Rafi and Jay.
Hear the song.
All right. Theme song's done. Welcome to the Internet
Bitches.
Reactions Podcast with Radri and
Hello.
Jay.
He's Jay. I'm Radley.
Yep. For now.
How are you doing, Jay? Yeah, especially until we do the Halloween episode, we try change places. You know, I'll be at your house and you'll be at mine.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Get like rubber masks and everything.
I'm in. There's a Don Quixote down the way, I'm sure.
Yeah, there you go. You still selling Obama masks and Abe masks?
Oh man.
I can't imagine they'd be selling Abe
Dude,
masks
no.
anymore.
So, like the official Abe mask, like the
Yeah.
Corona mask, I have some in the original package.
I still have mine too.
Yeah, 'cause I didn't use them, but now that he's dead, I'm kind of like, how much are those worth?
Probably nothing.
Yeah, probably still not
Because
worth it.
everybody got one of those.
But I got extra.
Okay.
'Cause like he sent them out to like all the households in Japan, right? And I
All
was
right.
moving like that month. So I got them at
Right.
like my place, and then when I moved, they were already in the mailbox. So my wife and I have like four or five of them, and we never even opened them. They're still downstairs in the closet.
No.
Yeah. So
All right.
I should check the price on eBay.
Yahoo auctions. I think probably get a better deal there.
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, Jay, I understand that you brought something today. You brought
Yeah.
something to the podcast.
So, true to form, I'm a soothsayer and I can predict the future. Little
Okay.
Tay, Little Tay. Not little, Lil, Lil, L-I-L.
Lil.
I said, I don't know, about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago,
Yeah.
I said, oh man, Little Tay's dead. She's not dead, right? And I said, okay, this is the opening salvo of her return. I said, so we're going to hear from Lil Tay in probably a month. And, give or take a couple weeks, I was right. So she has a new song, and she's jailbait now. She's 16, and she's dressed like, you and I are not the same age, but do you remember when Britney Spears first came out, or
Yeah, of
Hit Me
course.
Baby One More Time?
I'm not that young. God damn.
You're young. You're young. Younger than
Yeah,
me.
of course I remember. Everybody wanted to fuck Britney Spears at that age.
Yeah, and she was how old? 16,
I don't
17,
remember.
right?
Was she 16, 17? Okay, I don't remember. Maybe I never
When
thought
did that
about it
song come out?
because
98 or something like that?
something like that. It was late 90s.
Yeah. So she was not legal at the time. I remember that. So here
Okay.
she is. She's jailbait, fresh out of the Mickey Mouse Club with Justin Timberlake. And she has her first song. And Lil Tay is doing the same thing, just without the backing of Disney.
Okay.
So did you hear the song?
No, I saw the Instagram live that she did, but I did not hear the song.
You actually saw the Instagram live.
Well, part of it, I just kind of skimmed through it just to see what was going on,
Yeah, okay.
where she debunked a lot of the things that are going on in her life
So first and foremost,
from her perspective, of
she
course.
debunked the fact that she's dead, right? Because she was
Yeah.
fine. Okay, so that's good. So I'm glad she's alive. But yeah, so the video is called, the song is called Sucker for Green, and she's wearing like a two-piece pink outfit that shows a lot of midriff. But she's 16 years old. Like she's, not old enough, to be an adult.
Okay, are we gonna get on tr in trouble with YouTube with this? You're about to show me the video?
I'm not going to show you the video.
Okay, all right,
But
good.
I haven't really listened to it. I kind of saw like a 30-second clip. I'm like, oh, cool. I have something to talk about with Radri. And that was like the extent of my research on that. So
Okay.
I was right. She's back. She's not dead. And she's on the Britney Spears career track. Hopefully she doesn't end up dancing with knives and the FBI showing up at her door. But, you know, for the lulz, whatever.
Wait, the FBI showed up at Britney Spears' door?
So, well,
I know. I remember the knives thing because she was like doing some homage to some sort of like she claims was Beyonce or one of those. I can't remember.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, I saw the Britney Spears knives video and I'm like, OK, she's lost it. And, you know. A lady of her age who's gone through everything she's gone through and done the drugs and all that stuff. Yeah, I can kind of see she's nuts. Whatever.
Yeah, I can understand where she's coming from with that, the whole knives thing.
You can understand.
But yeah, but I think what it was is the way she shot it and the way, like, the angle she shot it from. It's like, this makes you look like a crazy person.
She looked like a psycho, yeah. So, like, if
it's
I
like,
was
don't
concerned,
shoot it from that angle, man.
If I was concerned for my friend, not Britney Spears, for a friend, mm-hmm. and I said, man, they seem not mentally stable. And then they post on social media something where they're doing like this crazy dance with knives, you'd be like, I think a third party should get involved in this. I mean, that's if she was like a personal friend of yours and you cared about her mental health and well-being,
yeah,
I would say that you would be like, maybe she should speak to somebody. So
well,
yeah,
I guess
the police did show up at her door
for that.
Yeah, because she looks like she's a freaking psycho and she has kids in the house.
Did somebody, like, alert the police or something after they saw the video?
Yeah, I think, like, her family did. Now, there's a whole, like, backstory with, like, she had a conservatorship or whatever, like, her parents.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So, you know, she shaved her head way back in the day. I mean, that must have
been
I remember. Or whatever. But whatever the case may be, like...
Who'd she kiss? Like Christina Aguilera on the lips or something on TV?
Oh, that was way back. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was her and Madonna or something. They all kissed each other or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the new picture of Madonna? Ooh, nobody's kissing that. Woohoo!
No, I didn't.
She looks like a lizard person.
Okay.
Like so much plastic surgery.
I imagine we all look like lizard people at that age. So.
Well, I think I'll just look old at that age, which I'm totally fine with. She had a lot of plastic surgery, and it's obvious.
It's not like a Kelly McGinnis thing, is it?
I don't know who Kelly McGinnis is.
She's the girl. I think that's her last name. She's the leading lady in Top Gun. Like, you look at a picture of her, like, back then look at her now, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah. So,
do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I know the concept that, like Meg Ryan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meg Ryan was in Top Gun also, and she looks like the creature from the Black Lagoon or something like that. Like, some, when people get plastic surgery, like, they quote unquote fix things about their look or whatever, but like, you still get old. And then, like,
right,
it's very obvious people who have had plastic surgery when they were younger, mm-hmm. but it's like, I don't know, I'd rather just get old.
Yeah, watch your face turn into salad.
Well, salads, I mean, that's okay. I mean, because it happens to everybody, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the magnetic pull of the earth. So.
Right. But what doesn't happen to everybody is you have, like, that plastic surgery face when you're 70 or whatever, because it's like, wow, you're more messed up than you were.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anywho, so Lil Tay's back. She doesn't have to worry about old face plastic surgery for a while, I guess.
No, not for a while.
She's a sucker for green.
Well, I mean, supposedly she said that her dad is the one who's behind all this. He's the what do you call him? The instigator. He's the one who claimed that she was dead.
It's a great word.
There you go.
So, I mean, if I had, like, internet notoriety like that, or my kid did or whatever, and I was like, hey, drop an album, we'll make $1 million, and then you never have to.
You'd totally be on board.
Well, here's the thing, because I speak to my friends, I speak to my family, my brother and I said, you know, it'd be great. What song were we listening to? It was When I'm a walking, I strut my stuff. I am so strung out. That song, right? It was a one-hit wonder. That group, like, never had another. Okay, or the guy from Smash Mouth just died, right?
Yeah, all-star, not too long right? ago.
Hey, now you're an all-star, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. I want to do that. Have one song. It's a one-hit wonder. You make your bag over the course of, like, one summer. Mm-hmm. And then you never have to do anything again. And anytime somebody mentions it on the radio, or it's played in a movie, or it's on the radio, or whatever, somebody sends you a nickel, right? Mm-hmm. You just get paid forever for having a one-hit wonder. I'm like, that's me. I want to have the one-hit wonder, and then I never want to do it again.
Okay.
You just got that. You just get that cash coming in for the rest of your life, man.
As long as you have the residual set up right, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, like the record.
Unless you're like fucking, you're like Buster Keaton or something. You get chipped out of everything.
Yeah.
At the end of your life.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it can go wrong, but like you sign your contracts, you go, hey, like this is mine, and I like with Smash Mouth and all those guys, I'm sure they get like 10% or 5% or whatever of whatever the residuals are. The record company makes all the money, but even then, like. Dude, that guy didn't, he didn't go back to work. He didn't become an accountant or, you know, work at UPS or something like that. He was just chilling.
Yeah, he's still on tour.
Yeah, yeah.
He made the news a couple of times because he was a coronavirus denier. That's something now, I think. But like, yeah, well, yeah, he's dead now. It doesn't matter now. But it was kind of funny. I like, there's a video of him like saying like, Corona's not real, man. He's like talking to a crowd. Anyway, what are you going to say, Jay? You're about to butt in.
I am. Sorry. No, but that's the one problem with having like a one-hit wonder. Do you ever like see those articles and they're like, yeah, so this like actress who is in this movie in the 70s in one scene and she said like, hi, Earl, or whatever. Like,
okay.
When she gets a speeding ticket or she gets a DUI or there's like, domestic abuse or she dies, it makes it into the newspaper. Like you're like, okay. Oh, I didn't even know who that was, but they were an actress. Like they were in one movie once. So then, yeah, that's it. They're okay. In. And then anytime anything ever happens to them, even slightly bad, somebody somewhere at TMZ writes an article about it. You're like, oh, okay.
Cool.
So that's the
I guess
one
not
downside.
Cool. But I guess that's not cool if you're the deceased. But.
Right. But I mean, like, you've seen these articles, right? Like, yeah, that one lady who was in Superman in 1978. And you're like, oh, the Lois Lane? You're like, no. She was like the girl who sat behind Lois Lane and looked at the camera once. And you're like, I don't think I've ever seen
one of these articles, but okay.
I've seen a lot of them. But right. For some reason, they're like, yeah, she was a famous actress. It's like, well, not really.
Okay.
But huh. I know that she had 3 DUIs and died in 1998 or whatever. So, cool.
Wow. Okay.
Hmm. All right. So, Lil Tay's
well,
back.
Well, I guess, Lil Tay's back. And the other thing I brought is, well, it's spooky month, you know? So, I brought a top 10, actually not top 10, top 11 best movies. Or Halloween, or what's best scary movies? My list of the top 10 scary movies everybody needs to see, or the scariest movies I've ever seen, and in order.
Okay. So you're gonna start at the most scary or the least scary?
The like, least scariest. Okay. And that's okay. Where you build up to like the best one.
Okay.
So unless you want to start with something, Jay, I can start with my number 11.
Okay. Why don't you start with number 11?
All right. My number 11 goes to I don't know if you can count this one because this is why I put it at number 11 because I love this one. I saw it actually this year. So, okay. And the movie came out, it was part of an anthology of on Netflix. It was called The Cabin of Curiosities. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
It's a give me, I can't say his name. Guillermo del Toro. You know that guy?
Yeah, he did Pan's Labyrinth, right?
Yeah, Pan's Labyrinth, The Shape of Water. A few others. Uh-huh. Hellboy 2. I think Hellboy 2? Pacific Rim. Anyway, he had an anthology.
His career has been going down. Got it.
I wouldn't say it's going down. I mean, he won Best Picture for Shape of Water. So, which I thought the movie was awful. About Pacific Rim. Oh, I hated that movie. Pacific Absolutely Rim hated it.
Shit. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I've had friends tell me, like, this is, like, the greatest movie of all time. And I was like, no, it's not.
No, I hated that one. I mean, he has some good ones, but he has some stinkers.
Sure.
But anyway, this really was, it's like none of them were directed by him. They're all like an anthology, like little, like, I guess you could say like five or seven. I can't remember how many movies it was. A bunch of short films. But one of them is this one called The Viewing that came out in 2022, last year. I didn't even know about this show, this Netflix thing. It just kind of found me. I don't know if you stumble across those ever.
Okay.
But I can't even pronounce this guy's name. The director of it is this guy named Panos something. Let's see. Let me type his name in here. He directed Mandy. And did you see Mandy with Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage. There you go. I'm off to a great start. Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage. God damn it. Panos Cosmatos.
Okay.
This guy. Anyway, sure. Big guy. Yeah.
He's a guy.
He often does like a lot of these kind of atmospheric movies, and a lot of the times they're like very stylized. Not much happens in it. Let me just set this up. It's one of these like movies where I guess you could say the less you know about it, the better it is. So okay. It's kind of hard to talk about. But I'll just say this. I mean, I was reading this one review on Letterboxd. I don't know if you use Letterboxd. It's a app. It's a really, really good app. I mean, not sponsored, but it's a really good app if, like, you need to organize all the movies you've seen. And you're like, have I seen that?
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to see that. And then you can just make, like, a list. And it's really good. It's free. But,
cool.
One of the top reviews says, imagine if, like, the gang from Scooby-Doo, none of them knew each other, and they all went to Elon Musk's house to get high and then look at a space rock. And that's essentially the movie. It's an hour long.
Honestly, I'd watch that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I loved it. It was very atmospheric. I mean, it has some pretty haunting moments. I mean, I love the music. I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, like old 80s synth music.
I am.
Yeah, I thought it was great. So I mean, the rest of the...
do the aliens come and try to get their rock back? Is that...
Not exactly. That kind of spoils it, so okay. I'll let you
All right. don't
watch it for yourself. I mean, I kind of feel like I've... Going into it, I mean, what's his name? Eric Andre, of all people, which is pretty funny.
Oh, the comedian?
The comedian, yeah.
The one who, like, in the meme, he gets shot, and they go, why does blah, blah, blah do this, right?
Yes, yeah, the one where they made a meme out of the Eric Andre show. You watch that show?
No.
You should watch it. That thing is, like, fucking out of this world. It's the craziest show I've ever seen. One of them.
I'll watch it on my commute.
Yeah, no, you should. I mean, it's he doesn't take anything seriously.
It's right up my alley. All right, so that was number 11. I'm kind of curious about, like, this is not a top 10, it's a top 11 list. But so I'm
top
sure we'll
11.
Get to that. So,
well,
okay, so what's your number 10?
Number 10, because I put all the 2020s movies towards the bottom.
Okay.
You know, because I don't know if, like, the test of time is really, like, proven.
You can't
they're
really
good
analyze
enough
that. You got to wait till, like, 2030 to be like, yeah, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, so you could probably imagine most all these I've had 19 before it.
Yeah,
I make it to the top of the list, but no, my number 10 goes to Cabin in the Woods, 2011.
Excellent film.
You liked it? Okay,
I
good.
Loved that movie.
Another one that, like, the more you talk about it, you know, or the less you say, the better.
Okay,
you know, the better the movie is.
Just when Chris Evans was it Chris Evans? No, the other guy, the Australian guy. Who's
yes,
Thor?
Chris Evans. I don't know. It's not Chris Evans. Chris Thor. There you go.
Who's Thor?
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth. When he died, I was like, oh. Because it, like,
surprised you.
It was a surprising death. And then also you were like, something's up. And then that kind of, like, turned the movie from, like, the typical horror movie to the what it became.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked that movie. And, like, I'm not really a horror guy, but I really liked that movie.
I mean, some of the CG will definitely be dated. in a few years. I mean, it's already pretty dated.
So that one didn't come out in 2020. That one came out in like
2021. No, 2011.
2011. Yeah, it was like,
yes,
because I saw that before I moved here. So I was like, oh, okay, that, yeah.
It has a pretty good twist in it. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
Great movie.
You know, for anybody who's talking about the horror genre, I don't know. I mean, I have only seen it once. I don't know. That's why I put it down here at the very bottom. But left a really good.
Because it is. That's what I thought. The guy from The West Wing, Brad something or other. What's his name?
Dwarf.
Brad.
Brad Pitt.
No, it's not Brad Pitt. It's,
I don't know any Brads.
The actor's name is Brad something or other, and he was in The West Wing. Okay. He's in it, and he's really fun. Because he always plays like a serious character, and then this one was actually fun.
Right.
So it was like, you know, and he had a good death scene too. So I was like, yes. But yeah, no, that's a great movie. I'm actually kind of concerned it's number 10. I would put that higher up in the list myself, but
you know, I only put it down lower because I've only seen it once. I put a lot of movies that I feel like a better film is ones you can watch over and over again. You could still spot new things from.
True that.
I did also make an honorable mention because there's a lot of movies that are like, well, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay, but there's a lot of movies that are like horror films that, like, could you call that a horror film? Like, that sometimes you see in these lists that are like, they say the top 10 horror movies. You're like, is it a horror movie?
But you're like, no.
No. I mean, something like, what is it, like Eraserhead, if you've ever seen that.
That was a comedy.
Yeah, right? I mean, you could say it's a dark comedy. You could say it's
dark
a horror
comedy
thing.
And horror are not the same thing.
Like, I wouldn't say it's too much of a comedy. I mean, I guess you could say it's a comedy. It's kind of a black comedy.
Sure.
But what was the other one? Like, Ichi the Killer? Like, I don't know if you consider that a horror movie.
Somebody actually scared me away from watching it. They said, like,
there's some pretty bad
CG
scenes.
And you're like,
it is pretty extreme.
Yeah.
So I just never it's not a date movie. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, obviously.
No.
Hey, new girlfriend, let's go watch Ichi the Killer.
That and like Bloodsucking Freaks. No, just no.
Okay, yeah. I guess I'll skip.
Or anything by Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Yeah. Right, so that was number 10.
Yes, that was number 10. Number 9, another 2000. This one came out last year. Barbarian. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Barbarian is this also another one that has a pretty good twist. It's a movie about this lady who rents a Airbnb in Detroit, but then she finds out that she rents the same Airbnb as this one guy, the same actor who played what's his name? Pennywise in the It movies. Of course, he's not dressed up. No, not the 80s ones.
Oh,
the newer one.
The Swedish guy. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Sarsgaard, yeah. And so he has one of those faces that's like, he's really good at, like, you don't know if he's like a fucking creep or if he's just being a nice guy, you know? And so it's pretty good. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a couple
of... I saw the preview for it.
The preview's not going to do it justice.
Obviously, but I said, well, that's like a pretty good. After seeing the preview, I said, oh, I would watch that. So,
the best part, and you should freeze frame it, is the scene where they go down to the basement and you look at all the titles on the videotapes. I mean, I don't know, it still gets a chuckle out of me. So,
okay.
Remember that. I don't know. It's really hard. This is another one that's really hard to talk about without spoiling the entire movie. But pretty much, yeah, it's a woman who rents an Airbnb and she doesn't know if this guy's like a creep or not. And then they keep on finding these hidden things underneath the Airbnb. And that's pretty much the story.
The Airbnb. Okay. I'll watch the movie and answer my own question.
Yeah, you'd have to see the movie. That's another one of these. Yeah, Cabin in the Woods, The Viewing. Man, already in this, like, all of them are like, I could spoil the shit out of them, you know? I mean, the ones that get further in, everybody's seen them. So
yeah,
it's like, I could spoil the shit out of them.
I think you gotta, like, there's like a grace period where you kind of gotta let people watch the movies, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I had a friend, and like, even like when the new Star Wars came out and all this stuff, like, he said, I give people 2 weeks, and then I talk about it. And yeah. like he had his own podcast that just like reviewed movies and very nerdy, very comic book oriented kind of guy. But he wouldn't say anything for two. He kept to his rule. But also I remember going like I was at college and I was like, oh yeah, Al Pacino dies at the end of Scarface, and my friend was like, oh man, what the hell? Like, and I was like, you haven't seen it came out in 1980. Like there's a statute of limitations. Like I can give the ending. It's a 40-year-old movie, you know?
Okay. All right.
Like, you know, King Kong dies fair. At the end. No, that came out in 1934. So, like, don't be mad.
Well, that's kind of expected.
But a movie that came out in the past 12 or 24 months? Yeah, okay. Maybe don't spoil it.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Barbarian, Cabin in the Woods, The Viewing. If you haven't seen them already. Maybe we could do the next podcast. You just talk about the spoilers. But I guess you'd have to watch those movies, Jay.
Well, we're doing the list this time, and then we can do the spoilers next time.
All right.
So that was
right.
number nine?
Number nine.
Okay.
What's number next? Eight, The Fly, 1986. Not the original one.
Wait, not the original one?
Not the original one.
Not the one with Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum is the remake. There's an old one, like a 1950s one that it's based upon.
Oh, okay. So I haven't seen that one. I've seen the one with Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. The one Jeff Goldblum is the one I'm talking about.
That's
remake.
A lot of good
David Cronenberg
practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Pretty good body horror.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty sad ending. He gets his head blown off towards the end.
Oh, spoiler. But, yeah. 1986.
Well, that you can spoil.
Yeah. I mean that's like 35 years old, so that's fine.
Yeah, that one is fine. But it's pretty horrific. I mean, because you think about, because I always think about teleportation, right? You think about things like that and how kind of creepy that would be. You know, because if you think about putting yourself in a copy machine, right? You have to copy every single cell of your body, right? And then you have to have that cell, you know, regenerate in somewhere else, right?
Right.
Does that mean, are you creating a new version of yourself, right?
No,
is that the same?
What you're doing is you are ripping yourself apart at the molecular level, and then it puts you back together somewhere else. So,
right.
To me, you're killing, you're dying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's
so, like,
the new you,
Captain
right?
Picard goes in the transporter, he actually dies, and then another Captain Picard.
Right. Yeah, then another regenerates, right?
Well, but the thing is, I don't think... like, I don't think teleportation is actually quite possible, but if it were, the way they do it, like, in Star Trek, I don't think, like, that would kill somebody. Like,
well,
yes, the organic matter would appear in the other place, but the person would be dead. Now, if they opened a portal, like a wormhole, and you stepped through it, that would be the way to get around it, I think.
Okay.
These are things I think about on the train.
Okay, so no teleportation, just portals.
No transporter from Star Trek. You just like open, like a square portal, and then you're like the game Portal, right?
Right, right.
You have like the entry and exit point, and you just walk through.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair. I mean, because that always kind of freaked me out, the whole you know, teleportation thing. Because I remember reading some article, I have to send it to you, like about, it was like 20 years ago, where they sent a banana and like an orange or something, like they teleported it, but didn't come back looking the same from like California to Arizona or something. I'd have to find it, but where they had science fiction become science fact. Anyway.
Yeah. No thanks.
Yeah. So, yeah, that always freaked me out. Like if teleportation was everything. I mean, think about it. It sounds great, but. You're essentially killing part of yourself. You're getting a new version.
Yeah. No thanks. I would rather walk. Mm-hmm.
Or this portal technology.
Portal to the portal. Yeah. Okay,
all right.
So
number
The Fly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's number eight. Number seven. It's a 1989 movie called Society. Have you heard of it?
So I've heard of it. I've heard somebody mention it, but they didn't describe like what it was about.
That's another one. I mean, this is another one of these horror movies that's like, the less you know about it, the better. Well, okay. Actually, maybe the first half of it, I could explain. It's about this kid growing up in high school, and he just doesn't get along with anybody. Mm-hmm. And he just thinks, all my friends are kind of weird. Like, my psychiatrist is weird. My parents are weird. Like, even my girlfriend's kind of weird. And then he finds out they're all part of, I guess, a secret society. That doesn't really spoil it. But, like, let me put it this way. After you watch the ending, you'll want to take a long shower. It's pretty nice. Damn gross.
Okay.
Yeah. If you know who Screaming Mad George is, he did the special effects for The End of Society.
Okay. What you're saying reminds me of a movie called The Stuff. Did you ever see
it? Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
It's not on your list, right?
That's not on my list. I don't know. It's a little too cheesy.
It's
good, though.
It's very cheesy. I don't know. I wouldn't say it's a horror movie. Would you say it's a horror movie?
I'd say it fits under horror. I mean, it has the makings of a horror
it's
script.
It's not a comedy.
Story.
It's kind of like They Live. It's kind of like in that. It's like.
It's That's
like
fair.
It's a movie that takes itself seriously when maybe it shouldn't have, but.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Another one of those movies where you're like, is that a horror film? Or is that like, you know, that's on the horror list, but it has horror elements to it?
Yeah.
Like one movie I saw like that was listed as like a horror film, right? Was like Schindler's List. I'm like, is it?
I wouldn't say that's a horror film.
Well, I mean, it makes sense, you know, it's like piece. It's yeah. a Holocaust.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's like happy material, obviously. It's horrible stuff.
Yeah,
actually,
right.
I just saw that within the past 5 years. I saw that again. And then I saw, okay. What was the one I saw the other day? The Pianist. No.
Okay.
Is it The Pianist? Yeah.
Pianist. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you want. You're the one about Adrian Brody, right?
Yeah, Adrian Brody. Yeah,
that's a good
that
one.
That was also about the Holocaust, but so I saw that one. But anyway, the thing I like about at the ending of The Stuff, the main guy, and like it's an actor that like, I don't think he must have been in some stuff, but like he wasn't really big and really famous, so I kind of like it because he was like, "Are you eating it, or is it eating you?" I'm like, "Yes." Yes. Perfect, campy, cheesy line to sum up this entire movie.
For context, for people who don't know what The Stuff is a movie about like this frozen yogurt that some guy finds on the ground.
No, it comes from outer space, obviously. I mean, it comes
from outer space? It's like a
1950s sci-fi movie made in the 1980s, yeah.
Okay, so it's like The Blob, but like with a twist. It's like, it's a white blob.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I really liked it because, like, I mean, I saw it when I was living in Texas, and I was just like, okay, so, like, this guy, is he a news reporter or a cop or something? I forget.
What no, I think it's like a park ranger, and he finds the stuff on the ground. It's bubbling.
Well, that's a different like, guy. That's not the main character.
Well, that's how the film starts. It starts off, it's like, what's this? It's all white and bubbly. Maybe I should eat it.
Yeah, the guy's like a news reporter or a cop or something. And anyway, so everybody's eating the stuff and he doesn't eat it. And then the only other person that believes him or has figured it out is like an 8-year-old boy. So this guy just like goes to the kid's house and like his parents are trying to make him eat the stuff. And he goes, come on in my car, little boy. And like, it's like a 40-year-old guy and an 8-year-old kid. And he just like jumps in the car with him. And I was like, okay, so this is wrong on a number of levels, but it was the 80s. So you're kind of like, well, okay, I guess I'd give him a pass, but
I don't even remember that part in the movie, but I believe you.
A lot of
80s movies. They got a lot away with a lot of things that you can't do today.
Yeah. Well, so. I mean like, but it was, yeah, maybe I was viewing it from a lens of, you know, the 2000s.
A 90s lens, early 2000s lens.
Yeah, something like that. So. Anyway, okay, so sorry. Your number 8 was?
Oh, number 8 was The Fly. Number 7 is Society.
Number 7 is Society. Okay.
Yeah. It is kind of similar to The Stuff in some regards, but it's another one of those. It like has a sleepaway camp kind of ending. There's no transgender, like, I have a dick, that sort of thing.
Oh,
nothing like
come
that,
on, but... man. That's the best part.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's great. Sleepaway camp. I mean, but it only really gets horrific towards, like, the last 5 minutes. is when you see like that face that you know the killer makes.
Yeah.
But
from
anyway.
The producer of Reanimator. Okay, it's gotta be good.
Are you looking up the society?
Yeah.
Or the stuff?
Society.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's pretty good. I have it on Blu-ray. Anyway.
Of course.
I should watch it again. All right, my number six is another remake, is from 1978, Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland. Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
That was
the Red Scare. I don't know what they attributed to in the 78 version. Because I guess communism is still around.
I didn't take that.
Yeah, that's what Invasion of the Body Snatchers is about. It's about like, you know, they'd slowly gang up on you and they take over the entire world. You know, they convert you to becoming a pod person. Or it's an allegory for it. You didn't know that? Yeah.
I didn't see the original one. Not in its full. I think I saw parts of it. But
right.
I saw the 78 Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And then there was Nicole Kidman, was it? No. Was that who?
Yeah,
was
they made another one just called The Invasion, I believe.
Yeah, and that one sucked. But the 1978 one was really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it has a very dark ending. It has a very, because you didn't see that very often. You know, you don't watch many, like, films where, like, they have, because, like, a lot of audiences prefer happy endings, you know. And this one definitely does not have a happy ending. I mean, obviously, you know, Donald Sutherland, you know, he gets attacked. He gets, he turns into a pod person at the end. But that's the twist.
Well, but you don't,
so
you
I
don't
can spoil this that. One because the movie's old.
It's old enough, yeah. But that's a meme gif.
It's a great gif.
Yeah,
it's pretty memorable. I can imagine how, like, I remember I watched the movie on DVD, and I mean that's quite the place to end the entire movie.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of crazy too about how like movies back then they didn't have like the credits at the end; they put them at the beginning. And it's like, could you imagine watching that entire movie, and then like all of a sudden he points at you, and then it just ends, and then like the theater lights go on.
Oh,
you're like,
well,
what
no,
the fuck?
I forget the name of the lady that was in the movie, but
I know you're talking about the
he
lady.
Does the
yeah.
pointing and the the scream, and then she goes, "No, no!" And then that's what it ends. So like she
has
a reaction.
Yeah, and then it just ends, and then like there's no credits.
It's over.
There's no
like she can't escape. That's the horror.
Well, I mean, you're used to like the comfort of like, you know, the credits to like roll up and like, yeah, that was a great movie, kids. They see all the people who made this film, you know. But no, it's just like it kind of feels really abrupt. I mean, he's like, that's how it was back in the day, how they used to make movies.
Yeah.
But
anyway, great. I totally agree with that choice. Great.
Next one, you may be kind of a contentious choice, I think.
Okay.
Because people are on the edge about this next one. All right. 1990. Gremlins 2.
As
loved
a horror
it.
Movie?
Yes.
I
love it.
It's a comedy.
I know you probably say it's more of a comedy. I know. But to me, it's just, I mean, I don't know. It's based up, I think supposedly it's like another, that's another one of the, I guess you could say the first one's more of a horror film.
The first one's definitely a horror movie. And the second one is a comedy. Which is why I think they were like, we don't want to make a third one.
Okay. I still think the second one was pretty scary. I mean, like when I saw it as a kid, I mean, I thought it was pretty scary.
Mm.
It scared me. But I mean, I thought it was very inventive. Some people hate this movie. They think they ran out of ideas when they made it. But
I think they threw every idea they had in it.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
But that's part of why I liked it. Because I feel like it's kind of a it's commentary on like sequels in general. But I guess you could argue that it's the opposite of that, that they couldn't figure out what to do. And that's what makes it awful. But I still love it.
There are some movies where like, so the original Gremlins was fantastic. Especially the story about like the girl's dad being Santa Claus, breaking his neck in the chimney.
Right.
Chef's kiss. But there are some movies where like, when you make the sequel, it actually destroys the first movie.
Is that how it did it for you?
Yeah. Because, like, I saw the first one, and I was like, wow, that's scary. Then I saw the second one, I'm like, oh, this is not good. And so now, like, I've never watched the original Gremlins because the sequel ruined it for me.
Really?
Kind of like, so Steven Spielberg had like this big thing when he made E.T. Of course, mm-hmm. it was like the biggest movie in the world in, you know, 1982 or 83, whenever right. it came out.
82,
and
yeah.
And they were like, hey, you should make an E.T. sequel. And he was like, no, because anything I make after this with the same cast of characters, it'll destroy the first movie. And he was totally correct. And right. if you read like the ideas that the studio pitched him, it was like, yeah, I'm really glad they didn't make the second movie. Like, sometimes really? It's better to not do something. And Gremlins 2, I think they made the wrong decision.
All right, that's fair. I mean, I know this one's kind of more contentious, but I quite like it.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my favorites. I don't know. Supposedly, the whole tower, Clamp Tower, is based upon Trump. Did you know that? It's supposed to be Trump Tower.
No, oh, that sounds funny to me.
Yeah, so next time, if you do watch it, but I know you're not a fan, so maybe you won't watch it again. But I don't know. I like all the
Gremlins
creativity.
Again. I really like that one. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, what is it? Gremlins, the original one. It was based upon. I mean, that's another allegory for. I think it was like. I forgot, like American exceptionalism or something. I forgot exactly what it
you're
was
going
cause, like
so
you have
deep.
No, I mean, I
so
love these
don't
movies.
Don't feed Americans but... after midnight, otherwise they'll reproduce uncontrollably. Is that
well? Because like you notice how like it's like an allegory for like Chinese imperialism or something.
Oh,
like,
Chinese
about how...
imperialism. Okay.
Kind of. I forgot exactly what you could say it's about. Because like you know you see that one guy, what's his name, Dick Miller?
Yeah.
Where he's like, everything's made in America. You know, like you need to buy things that are made in America. Like the Chinese are taking over. Like everything's made in China, right? And that was kind of the fear. Right, that they're all gremlins and they're going to take over. Sure, to some extent, sure.
Not the gremlin part, the everything's made in China part.
Yes, well, that part, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the word? You could say the fear of Chinese products, the fear of, I don't know, foreigners, xenophobia.
Xenophobia,
you could say it's about that.
Okay,
all right.
So that was number five?
Number five, Gremlins 2.
Okay.
I still stand by that it's one of my favorite
horror
movies.
That should have been number 11, but okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. That's fair. That's perfectly fair, but I still love it.
All right.
Put up there pretty high.
What's your number four?
Number four, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 1974.
Yes.
The first one, of course. Why would I put number two on there? I mean, that one's a comedy, or that one's like a joke, the first one.
I know, they did a remake. In the 2000s.
They did a remake, yes.
Yeah,
I never
it was
saw
Rob
it.
Rob Zombie.
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, not as good as the original.
Never
the
saw
70s.
It.
The one in the 70s is really great.
Was it Rob Zombie?
I think.
Anyway, yeah, that one is like, that's one of those movies where you can watch them over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
and you can still find new things with it. Particularly with the main character Leatherface,
mm-hmm.
it's just sort of like whenever I see people who are, I guess you could say, disabled, but like, you know, mentally disabled, but actually violent, they remind me of Leatherface.
Yeah.
And so I always had this reminder of myself to remind myself, like, you better watch out. This guy could probably really kick your ass. You know, he may seem dumb and he may seem like kind of weak, you know, even he's a big guy. He could probably, you know, rip your
but
face
probably
off.
Probably has a chainsaw
know.
And will wear your face.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that kind of shocked me about the film was how, like, because there's that dinner sequence, right,
yep.
in the film where they're all eating dinner. And, you know, of course, this is Leatherface. He could, like, kill anybody, right? But he's scared of his father, who's, like, half his size, you know? And, like, he talks down to him, and he actually listens to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It blew my mind. You know, but that's why it goes up there so high.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. That's a good movie. That's a real good movie.
Well, now I want to see if that's the 2003 one's directed by Rob Zombie. Is it? Let me see.
I thought it was, no?
Nope, Marcus Nespel. Maybe he did, maybe Rob Zombie did one? I don't know. Sounds like, I think he just did Halloween was what it was.
Oh, was that it? Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre film now too.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, no. It didn't get
narrated by John Larroquette. Wow.
There you go.
I'm saying wow because I didn't know he was still alive. So cool.
Now you know. Confirms it for you. The next one, I'm kind of little. I mean, it's kind of one of these you have to put it on here, for you know, because it's a horror movie.
Yeah,
it's one of these like I guess yes, it really does fit the bindings of what makes a horror movie. Number three is 1980, The Shining, by Stanley Kubrick.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it's definitely
what
a
is
horror
it?
Movie.
The only thing, because I think, what is it? I remember reading somewhere that Kubrick made the entire cast watch David Lynch's Eraserhead like every night or something
every
to get
night.
Into the theme. I don't know if it was every night, but he made them watch it to like get a feeling of what the film should look like. And, like just kind of get like this kind of creepy atmosphere, right?
All right.
But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of contentious about this one because, I mean, like Stephen King hates this movie, right? But then again, if you watch Stephen King's version of The Shining, it's absolutely fucking terrible.
Oh,
but
the one that was like on Sci-Fi Channel?
The TV movie. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one sucked.
Oh, it's so awful. You know, what's really funny is I watched Dr. Sleep recently, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Dr. Sleep? No.
The sequel to The Shining.
No.
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, like, it's fun to watch. It's a good watch. But it's like, this is like somebody who like wrote fan fiction for The Shining and they wanted to make a sequel. But it's fun. It's fun watch. I mean, it has a beginning, middle, and end. And it has a plot and a story and lore. I guess you could say that it steals from the first movie, which is absolutely fucking ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty much a trend center. I mean, a lot of people copied it. You saw a lot of patterns in other horror movies that you know stole from The Shining, so I mean that's kind of why I have to put it up there that high.
Yeah, there's a lot of referential material, especially like the twins in the hallway and the lady in the bathtub. That gets referenced a lot. Of course, the axe breaking down the door to the bathroom.
I know, like one critique of the movie is that like Jack Nicholson's already crazy looking, so it's kind of like it doesn't really make any sense to, you know, cast somebody who's already crazy who goes crazy, right?
Yeah, and I don't think this was about like Chinese imperialism or the Soviets. I think this was it was supposed to be about like he was an alcoholic or something like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, most of Stephen King's movies or books or stories are all about addiction, you know. I mean, that's because, you know, Stephen King was addicted to work and he was addicted to cocaine and
he's
alcohol.
He's gotta start doing cocaine again because like he hasn't written a good book in a long time.
No.
He was on
good.
Coke. Woo! The word really
flew when he wrote it
onto the page. Okay. Yeah,
it got
it's great. Even the
it's
remake
okay.
was good too.
The first one was good. The second one, I don't know. Like,
sure.
It went off the rails. Or I guess I don't know how to describe what was wrong with that one. There's a lot of things wrong with it, but I'm not here to talk about why It Too sucked. Because it's a whole other conversation. But,
okay. So The Shining is your number three.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like it does go up there because I mean it did because I was debating about pushing it down further, but I'm like, no, there's a lot of great elements in that you know did really change horror, and it's a really big staple of what it is.
I'll be honest,
and I guess you
it wouldn't even be on my list.
Really? That bad, huh?
I would say, like, no.
You hated it, huh? Just wasn't scary
say
for
I
you?
I hated it. It was just such a weird movie. And, like, I understand, like, here's the problem with it. It's whatever the length is, right? 2 hours. And it's only, like, really scary for the last 20, 25 minutes.
That's fair,
There's a lot of lead up of, like, weird stuff going on. And then, like, the bathtub lady attacks the kid.
It's about atmosphere, you know.
Yeah, but there's like 30 minutes of atmosphere, great, and then the movie, but it's like an hour and a half of atmosphere and then like 20 minutes of oh my god, oh, and I guess he just forgot it's cold in Colorado in the winter and he stayed outside and died. It's like, wow, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to tear apart this movie.
It's really easy because I don't think it's great, so
Because, I mean, I watched, what was that movie? They made a documentary about it called Room 237.
Yeah.
Where it's all about these people who talk about how ridiculous, or not ridiculous, that they I don't even know how to describe this documentary, but they basically see things in the movie that, like, they try to paint the movie as, like, a better film. And to me, it's just like, that's overreaching, man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know if you could watch some of it, but, I mean, it does help, like, change some of the film for you, may help it appreciate it more. Yeah. And there are certain elements I do really like about the film. I think they do really well. I guess you could argue.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say that. I guess you could argue that maybe that you, Jack Nicholson. Like, you don't know if he's being crazy or if he's being serious. I guess you, in the defense of, you know, Jack Nicholson, you could say that it's one of those situations.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I just looked up the movie. It stars David Caruso. If you want a good, like, atmosphere film with horror elements, it's called Session 9.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah. That's good.
I thought that was actually a pretty good movie. Not
it's all right.
The best, but I would say Session 9 is better than The Shining.
Okay.
Because it has, like, kind of the same creepy vibe. You're in, like, this very large old building, and some weird stuff is going on. I don't want to ruin the movie. I mean, it came out in 2001. I guess we could spoil it, but
right. No, you can spoil it. I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, David Caruso from CSI Miami is, like, an asbestos removal guy, and they're at this old, like, psych ward.
And they keep listing all, like, these psych ward tapes and everything. And pretty much from, like, the way the movie ends is that it's just, like, they keep on, like, pressing. I guess what happens is, like, they just go crazy towards the end.
Yeah.
The main guy, like, goes crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the question is, did they go crazy because they listened to the tapes, or did they go crazy because they were exposed to asbestos? You know, like, you never really know.
Well, I think what it was is that, you know, he kept on, like, pushing. I remember that movie. Like, he kept on pushing up the day, like, finish on Tuesday. On Tuesday. No. Finish on Monday. Like, and he kind of put himself on, like, this impossible.
Yeah.
Like, schedule to, like, clean the entire psych ward out. And so it kind of drove him crazy. And then, like, he's, like, you know, he's listening to all of those tapes, and all the people in there are going crazy. And so it just kind of got to him. And that's kind of the story.
Yeah. And it's actually a real place.
Is it? Oh, yeah. That I didn't know.
At Danvers State Hospital in Danvers, Massachusetts. Yeah.
Wow.
Danvers State Mental
one of the
Hospital. Yeah.
Huh.
So anyway, so that's
no. It has one of the best, like, out of context scenes ever, where Dave Caruso says "fuck you." It's like, that one's the best. It's great.
But does he put on the glasses and then goes, "Yeah."
No. They do, like, this huge zoom up. He's like, "Hey, fuck you." And if you watch it out of context, it's hilarious. But if you watch it in the context of the movie, you know, it's actually creepy.
Hold on. It's got to be, like, a gif.
Yeah, you should go look it up.
Fuck you.
It is.
No.
But if you watch it in the movie.
It's called David Caruso Meme. Let me see what this is.
All right, why don't you share it? Share it.
Okay, it's not it. It's not it. Okay, it's always got to
come up.
Glasses from CSI Miami.
Okay.
David Caruso.
If you can't find it, I can find it right away.
Session 9, fuck you. On YouTube. Here it is.
Hey, fuck you.
Okay, that
you gotta share it. I want to see it.
All right, I'll send you the YouTube link.
All right,
so
okay.
You got two more movies.
Yep, these last two are very hard to put on the very top. I mean, they're subjective, but I guess I got to tell you that much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this one came into a close second, trying to beat out number one. But my number two is John Carpenter's The Thing from Another World, or just The Thing, 1982.
Excellent movie. Yep.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that scared the shit out of me when they're trying to, when he tried to, was he doing CPR? Or he was doing the paddles to try to start CPR, the guy's heart, and then his chest caved in and ate the guy's arms. I was like, holy shit! Like, that was a great movie. Great, great movie.
I mean, I guess you could say some of the practical effects are kind of dated, but I mean, the whole dog sequence where his face gets ripped off, that's pretty visceral.
I really like the practical effects, because I think, like, we rely so much on CGI now. I think if we kept on doing practical effects, they'd be very, very good, like, in this year. You know what I mean? Like, if they remade The Thing, they would do CGI, because it's cheaper, right?
Well, they did, 2011.
Oh, did they? Yeah, but and it's all CGI, right?
Most of it's CGI, but that's not the problem with the 2011 one.
Right, I think I saw the 2011 one also. But no, the 80s version was way better. It's Kurt Russell, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Great movie. Great horror.
I mean, the thing I like about that is the creature designs for it. Like, they studied like bugs and animals, like, that kind of just, you know, freak you out. They kind of put that into the design, you know, because, like, you know, things from another world, like, you think of, like, I don't know, it's very like Lovecraftian, like, you know, octopus tentacles, that sort of thing. Because, you know, it's like the Thing character, he has like octopus tentacles, he has like antenna, he has like weird sort of like anatomy that, I guess that's kind of like unpleasing to the human eye. So they put a lot of time and effort into making sure that monster looked pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
To the point where I think that's why it goes up so high up there as my, you know, number two, because I still find things that are kind of interesting about that movie. Another thing that's interesting about that film, there is not a single female actor in that movie.
Yeah, is that why it's so good?
I don't know. I mean, there's a female actor in, like, on the television. That's about it.
Yeah. In 2011, Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yep.
Is the.
The lead.
The lead, which. No thanks.
I had to watch it. I've never seen it. I've watched the trailer and I've seen clips on YouTube, but
maybe
I've never watched
it
from start to finish.
Remakes list or something.
Top 10 remix list. Yeah. Yeah. Probably put Gremlins 2 in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be me, but all right, so The Thing, number two, well deserved. Yeah, I think so.
This next one you may be on the fence on.
Okay,
we'll see. My number one best horror film that I still watch every year, like, well, not every year, every other year, every 5 years, I don't know, I still watch it all the time.
Yeah,
it's changed my life. Evil Dead 2, Sam Raimi.
Okay, so, which one?
1982.
Is Evil Dead
2? Oh no, 1987. Excuse me.
Wait, is that the one where he goes? He gets the book.
That's the one that's more of a comedy, but it's also horror. It's
that's
also
Army,
scary.
That's Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness is where he goes back in time.
Okay. So Evil Dead 2. Okay, so I don't think I saw.
There's Evil the Evil Dead, 2. Dead. That's like the more serious gore fest.
I saw Evil Dead, the original Evil Dead. Sam Raimi. Directed.
Yeah, we did,
he
and then he did
car.
Evil Dead.
It's in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's car.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The car that was in The Evil Dead. So I saw that one. I thought that was a great movie, the original one. Evil Dead 2, I haven't seen.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I mean, I never
make an effort to see it. It's October. It's time.
That was the one film I've ever. That's like the only movie I've ever seen where I thought I never knew a comedy and a horror movie could work so well together.
Yeah.
Because normally it doesn't sound like that would work well at all. It's like one or the other wins out. Either it's a comedy or it's a horror movie. But for some reason, I guess Sam Raimi is the only person who could do this sort of thing, where he can make like his gonzo kind of like filmmaking style kind of like scary, but at the same time, hilarious. I mean, I guess you could kind of say the same thing with like David Lynch movies. Like sometimes you have these horrific scenes and like, I don't know if like he's being serious or if like he's joking.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the recent Twin Peaks season 3, but there's like a sequence where one of these characters dressed up as like Abraham Lincoln, and he keeps on repeating the same phrase over and over again. Some poem. And then, like, he just grabs people by the forehead and he cracks their head open. And I don't know why, but just the way he does it, it's horrific. But it's just absolutely hilarious. You know? So, I mean, that's why Evil Dead 2 goes up there.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's ever been somebody who's been able to balance that as well. To be able to do comedy and horror that well. I mean, there's a couple of scenes that are obviously comedic, there's a couple of Three Stooges bits. You can tell that was obviously, you know, done for laughs.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, no, it has a lot of creativity put behind it because mm-hmm. I mean, he had a bit more money then, and so he had a lot more practical effects. Not quite Army of Darkness yet, but. Had a lot going for it. It was interesting.
Yeah. I want to watch that one because I've seen the original Evil Dead, and that's like all the college kids go to some cabin in the woods for some reason. And,
yeah.
There was this one scene where like the trees killed this girl or something.
Oh
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they rape a girl. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a little graphic, but Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
like, and that had like the zombie in the basement and or in the crawl
space. Some writers very poorly disguised fetish. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the first one was really good, and I saw Army of Darkness. I owned it on VHS actually. Army of Darkness.
Yeah, it's a good one.
So I haven't seen the one in the middle. So I'll make it a point to see that one. That's really good.
Yep. All right. So that list again is number one, Evil Dead 2. Number two, The Thing. Number three, The Shining. Number four, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Number five, Gremlins 2. Number six, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake. Seven, Society. Number eight, The Fly. Number nine, Barbarian. Number 10, Cabin of the Woods. And number 11, The Viewing.
So why 11?
Why 11? I wanted to put that one on there. The Viewing. Because it's just sort of like, that stuck with me. I've watched it a couple of times now. And I was thinking, it doesn't really go in the top 10. You know, and it's sort of like, what is it? Like, this is Spinal Tap, where they would say, we had to take it up to 11. Just go one step higher, you know?
All right, so you cranked it to 11. I can respect that. All right, cool. All right, so that's your top 10
surprise.
List.
Huh? I'm surprised you didn't have a top 10 list.
Yeah, I forgot to do it. So,
oh, okay.
Right. Next week would be like an 8-hour podcast if we did that. So,
that's
I'll tell
true.
You what.
That's true.
We're going to see Troll and Troll 2.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about that. And then for another October podcast, I will come up with my top 10 list.
All right. Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe I'll do 11.
See how it compares to mine.
Yeah. I'll see it. We'll do a comparison too. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me know if you see any of those other horror movies, and I'll watch some of the ones that maybe are on your list that I get to see.
Okay. Cool. I think we're going to have a little overlap. So
probably. Yeah. I highly recommend Letterboxd. That'll help you like put together everything.
Okay, I'll check that out.
If you need any help, but anyway.
I probably do, because like horror is not my main thing. So, but I have seen.
What
horror
is your main thing?
Comedy.
Oh, comedies. Like okay. Yeah. Best comedy movie ever made. Go.
Uncle Buck.
Or one of them. What?
Uncle Buck.
Buck.
John
Candy. Wow. Okay. Not yeah. Planes, Trains, Automobiles, or
I was gonna say that at first, but I was like, you know, I liked Uncle Buck better, and it had Macaulay Culkin in it before Home Alone.
What's like a John Candy movie?
The Spaceballs. Great Outdoors, Spaceballs. Yeah, Spaceballs is a good movie. All right,
Stripes.
We'll do comedy movies for another time, but I'll come
up
with the top 10 list.
Best John Candy movies.
Well,
yeah.
There's probably only like 10, so.
Yes, that's true.
Anyway, all right, let me play the outro here. We reacted to the internet. This was internet reactions.
Top 10 list. Do some flexing.
Yeah.